Again, thank you very much for taking some time to talk with me today. Would you mind just having just a very brief introduction, your name, the position that you have, and then what you've been working on for the last little while here at Microsoft?
Sure. You're welcome. My name is Thomas Fenning. I'm a general manager in the Windows Server organization. I'm responsible for the file server and availability parts of the server operating system.
And you mentioned that you'd worked on 2000, among other projects, that sort of stuff. So you've been involved on the server side of the house for quite some time.
Yeah, I've been spending most of my career at Microsoft at the server group. And I started out in networking. And then I moved to manageability and eventually came around to picking up the storage team.
Okay, on the storage side of things. And so if I'm looking at the next release of server coming out, interview will be airing on the 1st of March when it becomes available for individuals to go off and to download and to use. What do you feel are a couple of big things that are the big changers that happened with Server 8?
Well, this release really for us has been very exciting. Like the amount of features that are sort of lining up around like a few of those key pillars is quite stunning, has surprised ourselves. We used a little bit of a different design methodology for this one where we set out to do some really big things, and then we worked with all the teams across the organization to help make that one big thing really pop. Mm-hmm. And in our case, what we have been working on is called continuous availability. And maybe I need to frame a little bit sort of what I mean when I say continuous availability. The term high availability has been known for years. Mm-hmm. But when you really look behind the carpet or behind the curtain and look what that meant, sort of the actual guarantees behind high availability were not that high. So what it really means, like when you lose a node, you will be able to like restart the application on another node, and your storage will become available on that other node. But effectively, what that meant in practice is, sort of your application actually stopped working, and you had a sort of a blackout period for like 1 to 5 minutes. And then you had to restart the application on another node, and not all of the data was potentially available on that other node. Well, we coined this new term continuous availability for this release, and the goal is very, very simple. If a component fails, you should not have a blackout period. You might have a brownout period where things run a little slower. Mm-hmm. But there is never a service interruption, and more importantly, you never lose any data in the process.
Oh, okay.
So that was like the key objective. In order to do that, we had to do some major investments, engineering investments across the operating system, not just in storage, but like all the way up from the kernel, networking, storage, some of the device enumeration, the clustering subsystem, up to the storage layer, and the applications had to play ball as well.
Mm-hmm. So from an accessibility perspective, this is available on a very large scale basis, or is this also filtered down to the lower levels of size of organizations?
Well, that's actually an interesting point. The in the very, very high end, there have always been offerings for highly available hardware. Mm-hmm. But usually the price point and the cost of managing those systems has not been accessible to like smaller businesses. This time around, we took a very, very special view on not just how we can lower the cost of the components, but also how we can make it accessible so that smaller businesses or medium-sized business can easily deploy these things. And we actually went as far as designing custom hardware to achieve that. Ideally, like in the future, or like when Windows Server 8 ships, we envision that people can buy a standalone server, or they can buy a continuously available server. From the outside, they would both look the same. They're like an integrated 2U box.
Oh, okay.
But in that continuously available server, or we call it a cluster in a box, you would have like multiple nodes, a shared storage subsystem, everything pre-set up, pre-configured. You get the box, unpack it, and after 15 minutes, you should be able to run your Hyper-V workloads on it.
Mm-hmm. Would you be able to explain for me, just maybe use the whiteboard, around how this continuous availability is made up of the different components and how that works. In the past, I'm thinking of a simple couple of node cluster up to 16, some shared storage being iSCSI or being Fibre Channel, and then having, as you mentioned, that kind of a failover experience of a restart on the other node once the application has been identified as being a problem.
Sure, happy to.
Sure, great.
So one of the key focus really was to look at the competitive situation that we see in virtualization. And today, if you want to have any form of high availability and virtualization with Server 2008 R2, you need to deploy our cluster.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to deploy a cluster, you need some form of shared storage. So let's say you have multiple server boxes, server 1 and server 2, then you need a shared storage subsystem. The options you do have today for that are iSCSI or it's Fibre Channel,
mm-hmm.
both of which are frankly very, very expensive. So we looked at like different ways of providing that same level of service, and we looked at Fibre Channel and sort of the best of breed, best in class, but trying to get to that level of service at a price point that might be like an order of magnitude lower. And for local storage, we achieved that by the adventure of or the arrival of a technology which is called shared SAS.
Mm-hmm.
And what shared SAS gives you, you have a backplane with like directly attached disks, but they have multiple ports going to the drives. So with the right level of like expander cards, you can now make these local drives invisible to all the nodes that are connected to that shared SAS subsystem. When I talked about that cluster in a box system, you really need to envision a simple 2U box where you like plug drives in the front,
mm-hmm.
and in the rear you got your multiple nodes, and it's all DAS connected, but it's shared storage. So this box alone constitutes sort of a cluster, but it's all integrated into the single system. Furthermore, setting up a cluster in the past could have been quite tedious. We made some changes to the operating system that you can really set these things up and pre-image them in the factory. So when you unpack them, within 5 questions in 15 minutes, you have mm-hmm. a cluster up and going.
Oh, okay.
So that's very powerful as it is. So a system like this, you could use, for example, as a Hyper-V or SQL appliance. And the cost differential compared to a system like this with integrated DAS storage to one where you had like an external storage subsystem is quite significant. When you look at the cost, the total system cost today, it constitutes of the operating system, the individual servers, and the storage. And today in those systems, the storage cost is probably a little bit more than 50% of the total system cost.
Mm-hmm.
In this system, we dramatically drop the cost for that. And then in terms of the physical hardware here, we have a solution that's an all Microsoft software solution where you basically run sort of your RAID layer directly in the operating system, or we continue to support sort of the standard RAID controllers as they're existing in today's servers, but we worked with the manufacturers to enable that cluster mode so you can have pairs of them mm-hmm. and they work fully as a cluster.
Okay.
If you want to scale this up, you really need to think about like the networking layers as well. So we added like all the plumbing in the operating system to be really, really fail-safe to the failure of network components. There's one technology here that's LBFO, load balancing failover. In the past, that was supported from the individual NIC vendors, but we built it into the operating system, so any 2 NIC ports in any server can now be lit up and set up for automatic failover, and that is a completely seamless experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if these are your network switches, and you want to scale out that shared storage subsystem, we also put a lot of work into into our file server, enabling file server as a shared storage backend for larger scale deployments. So think about a world where you might have like a larger compute cluster. And this can be really, really large numbers. And they're connected to a standard Ethernet network or mm-hmm. to an InfiniBand network, as it might be. And if you hook this up to these networks, to these network switches, then a file server, our continuously available file server, is now a valid cluster storage backend that gives you very, very highly available and very performant storage for your Hyper-V compute farm. One interesting detail there is, when you think about fiber channel, then you need to think about how much CPU cycles are you going to spend on these compute nodes to move your storage?
Mm-hmm.
And fiber channel is a hardware accelerated technology. So there's very, very low overhead, CPU overhead, which allows you to run a large number of VMs on each of these compute nodes. And when you replace that with something like iSCSI, what you will find out that the CPU on this machine goes through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the innovations we did, we invented a new protocol, SMB version 3.0, where we support a special form of a NIC card, an RDMA-based NIC card, that supports hardware offload of the data movement. So we get the same level of resiliency, but we also get the same low CPU overhead on the compute nodes for a file server backend.
Mm-hmm.
So with this kind of a configuration, you can build super, super high performance deployments at a price point that really didn't exist before. Just to give you sort of a sense for the performance, what we're looking at right now, what we're announcing in beta, is around 300,000 8 kilobyte IOPS and about 6.5 gigabyte per second, not gigabit, gigabytes per second of bandwidth coming out of a single one out of those single servers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you translate this a little bit into the fiber channel world, like fiber channel today, the main deployments are 8 gigabit, and there's like the latest hardware just shipped is 16 gigabit, so we're already like way beyond those deployments. So if you need like a tier one SQL database that sort of needs to crunch many, many gigabytes per second, then this might be a very, very attractive solution for you.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned the continuously available file server example as one of the things, that literally means that your Hyper-V environment would be talking to, no longer talking to an iSCSI target like it would in the past. It now is literally talking to like a UNC share.
Yes,
on top of SMB. That's how easy it is.
That's how easy it is.
When it's properly architected, it's not going to simplify that much.
Well, so the key word here is sort of we really redesigned the protocol in order to support that.
Mm-hmm.
And like everyone knows how to set up a Windows file share, basically that every administrator can set that up, and that's basically in this new world all you have to do. And both Hyper-V and SQL will transparently work against UNC file shares like they have been working against block devices in iSCSI or Fibre Channel before. The only difference you might see or might not see, depending on your storage, you might see very, very high performance.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost point of basically putting together one of these, let's say, two-node clusters in a box, we have been working with some of the Taiwanese ODMs to design custom hardware that really sort of provides all the components and features into a single 2U case.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect the same way you go to the one of our OEM's websites today where you select a server, you will be able to select a continuously available server. And hopefully sort of the cost is not going to be a multiple.
Okay.
That's sort of like
an incremental instead.
It's an incremental instead.
Yes.
But the level of continuous availability or availability you get is unprecedented in the industry.
Mm-hmm. And individuals, the IT guys that are watching this, they'll be able to go off and to start to look at this and to design these kind of solutions right out of the box from the beta time frame?
Yep. So all of the functionality I'm describing here is in the beta release.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be able to construct this from individual components. And we will have some guidance on how to do that. We're also working with some of the partners to potentially make available some of those pre-built systems for our beta customers. And then we're right now working through sort of the details of what it would mean if they can basically ship the operating system pre-imaged on those devices.
Mm-hmm.
To get to that 15 minutes deployment time.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. It's been great. I'm going to put you on the spot and ask if I can come back at some point when you have some of these integrated systems that I can take a look at, and maybe for a different interview I'll be able to talk with someone a bit about the design, the makeup, and how those work at some point. It sounds really cool.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.